This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we are making chocolate mousse pie. We have another Masterstroke episode to share with you. Music.
And a special doctor's orders. Stay with us. Good morning and happy Wednesday. You know, we're officially 2.5 weeks away from the fall.
Wow, can you believe it?
Wow. You know, what's the weather like in your part of the world? Is it already looking like fall? Well, send us pictures on our official Facebook page. We'd love to see them.
You know, even though fall is a reminder that leaves and flowers are dying or about to die and winter is on its way, which means colder weather, there is still beauty in the process, friends. And you know, it's a reminder that even when things seem to be going wrong in our lives, God can still bring beauty out of our pain.
That's right.
And there's always sunshine after the rain. So don't forget that. There is always hope in Jesus Christ.
That's right. And this morning, we want to fill you with that hope that can only be found in Jesus. And we want to remind you of His many blessings and great faithfulness. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1997, an estimated 2.5 billion people around the globe tune in to television broadcasts of the funeral of Diana, Princess of Wales, who died in the age of 36 in a car crash in Paris the week before. During her 15-year marriage to Prince Charles, the son of Queen Elizabeth II and the heir to the British throne, Diana became one of the most famous, most photographed people on the planet. Her life story was fodder for numerous books, television programs, and movies, and her image appeared on countless magazine covers, including those of People and Vanity Fair. After her death, she remained an iconic figure and a continual source of fascination to the media and entertainment world.
You know, it's amazing to think of the widespread impact and influence one single person can have on the world. I can't help but to think of our Lord Jesus Christ, the most influential figure in human history. You see, though Jesus Christ came to earth as a human and just one person, over 2,000 years later, His life continues to transform the lives of many and will hold incredible significance throughout eternity.
That's right. And you know, Jesus, as the Son of God, was both fully human and fully divine. His death and resurrection had cosmic significance, redeeming humanity from sin and offering eternal life through faith in Him.
That's right. His death, instead of simply being the end of His life, marked the beginning of a new life for thousands, if not millions, of people. His resurrection demonstrated victory over death and the promise of new life for believers. It offers hope, hope beyond the grave, and a way to experience true spiritual rebirth. So friends, today you and I can claim this hope as we express, confess, and live out our faith in Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's time for the healthy foodie again. Today they're whipping up a 4-ingredient chocolate mousse pie.
Yes.
Just now, Neil Schofield is here to take us on an artistic adventure as he helps us discover the amazing value of every human being.
In the Getty Museum is The Ransom by John Millay. This painting shows a 16th century knight paying a ransom in return for his two daughters. you can see one captor holding a bag full of money. The other is holding on tight to one hand of each girl. Everyone, including the dog, has their eyes focused on the scene. The knight is handing over the precious jewels, while the two girls squeeze themselves into the safe chest of their father. When I was looking at this painting, a story from Venezuela came to my mind. In this story, a young girl was kidnapped and the ransom requested was $10 million. Now you can imagine the worry that was within the heart of the parents. Now just say a man called the father and said, "I've got some good news. Your daughter's been kidnapped. They want $10 million. I think I can get you another girl, and this one will only cost you $50,000. Do you think the father would be interested? Well, no. Why? He doesn't just want a girl, he wants his girl. Sometimes we think that because God has billions of people, we don't really matter. The Bible says, you are bought with a price. In the world of art, the value of an object is dependent on how much someone is willing to pay. For instance, Millais tried to sell this painting, The Ransom, for £1,000, but no one wanted it. Now it's housed in one of the most famous museums in the world, and it's worth literally millions of dollars. So what did God pay to ransom you? Peter wrote, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." God paid the highest price imaginable, not silver or gold, but the precious blood of Christ. Your price was His life. What is God worth? A million. A billion. A trillion. In God's view, His worth is the same as your worth. So what's the key message of this painting? You are priceless.
Are you enjoying today's program? Well, don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And you can search for us on YouTube as well. Check out our channel there and keep up with us also.
When we return, we will have music. But first, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doc. There's no way I'm going to lose that weight you told me to.
Why not?
Well, it's simply impossible.
Oh, it's possible. A lot of people have lost weight. One of my friends, she lost 50 kilos. That's 100 pounds.
Yeah, I'm sure she starved herself to death.
No, actually. She ate more and weighed less.
No.
Yeah, it's true. It actually works.
Well, that doesn't make sense. I'm so upset because I just read to burn off the calories from just one soda, I have to walk for 40 minutes. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to walk that much after every little soda. I'd have no time to eat my fries.
No, and if you ate your fries, you'd have to walk for 2 hours to burn them off.
Which would leave me no time to drink my soda.
Well, maybe you're onto something.
What? To eat more fries?
No, that's not what I meant.
Well, I'm stuck between this rock and this hard place. The more soda I drink, the more I need to exercise, the more I exercise, the more I need to drink. So how did your friend get out of this awful place?
So she replaced her soda with water and her fries with salad, and voila, problem solved.
Substitute water for soda? That's revolutionary, Doc. Where did you learn that?
Medical school, Daniel, medical school. When you're tempted to reach for a soda, reach for water instead. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. As we think about the mighty God we serve, we can't help but to sing praise to Him in song. And right now, we're going to do just that as we share with you uplifting music. Enjoy.
We came here tonight to lift up the wonderful name of Jesus, and I want you to be part of that process as we all lift up his matchless name. Kim, I want you to get us started.
I wish that I could write a song that would be known throughout the world. It just might be a love song that would warm the hearts of boys and girls, for you see, poetic lines and perfect rhymes tend to gain the world's acclaim. But as long as love's author lives in me, I will magnify his name.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share it with your friends. They can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. We'll be right back with today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written.
Welcome back, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
It is great to see you. I hope your day has started well. I'm delighted we have a few moments together, and I think we're going to be encouraged together, both you and me, as we consider something that you can apply practically to your life. Are you going through a trial right now? Think about it. Are you? If you're not, you know somebody who is. And trials can be brutal. They can also be very, very discouraging if we allow them to be. It might be a physical trial, an illness, a disease, something that the doctors aren't giving you any hope about. That can be a real trial. No way to sugarcoat that. It might be a financial trial. Maybe things at work aren't going great. You might have lost your job. Maybe your business or your practice is suffering a loss or going through a lean time right now. There might be unpredictability in your line of work, and that can be a real trial. So trials can take on many forms. You might be in a relationship and experiencing that the bottom is falling out of it. You've done everything you can, but the other person isn't doing everything the other person can. Man, those trials are real. They are difficult. And trials can discourage people to the extent that they lose their faith. Just a couple of days ago, I spoke with a young lady who told me about a time in her life when she went through a very trying time and figured that God had abandoned her, and so she walked away from God. It didn't work out well for her, and before long she was back, and she's doing great today. But that's what people will do. Give up on faith, give up on God, act as though Jesus never walked the earth because of a trial. The book of Job is really all about the trial one man went through. Now, in a broader form, it's about that great battle between good and evil that takes place behind the veil. We don't see it. It was what was going on in the background, of maybe the foreground of Job's experience. And Job went through this almost life-destroying trial, and he called out to God and he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Now that's powerful. That's prescriptive for us. We are called to trust, even though trials can be difficult and life can seem unfair. We are to trust in the middle of trials. Now, it may seem that what I'm about to say to you is just a little too neat and tidy, and maybe a little convenient, particularly if you're going through something really difficult. But I want to share this with you anyway. In the west of the United States, when the drought was bad, and it's bad, the lake level, or the level of Lake Mead, which feeds ultimately through the Hoover Dam, plunged precipitously. Very bad state of affairs. But interestingly, as Lake Mead started to drop, certain things were seen that had been hidden from the human eye. Formations, some of them very beautiful. Old cars. Did I hear dead bodies were found? Things that were dumped into Lake Mead in the hope that Lake Mead would never reveal its secrets. But when that trying time came, when the drought came, things were seen that were otherwise hidden. Rivers in Europe, owing to the drought in Europe, river levels dropping in one place, warships, sunken warships were revealed. People knew they were there, but folks never saw them, and they were largely forgotten by almost everybody. And now they're seen in the light of day, because the drought caused the water level to recede, and now things are being seen that weren't seen. And trials can be just like that. Trials can reveal things in your life that you thought were hidden or hoped that nobody would see. And so God does us a favor in allowing trials to come. It might be that you simply have a bad attitude, but when things are going well, it's easy enough to have a positive attitude. The minute the rain clouds start to gather, the minute something goes not according to your plan, that's when you change and metamorphose into something that you would rather people didn't see. Well, it's not my fault. No. It is your fault, because you and I are both ultimately responsible for our actions. And it's easy to be happy when the weather is fine and you find a parking spot right by the front door of the place that you're going. That's easy. Anybody can do that. But what happens when the weather isn't good and there isn't any parking? And you know I'm using that just as an example. What happens when your foundation is shaken? Do you really trust God? Are you really a Christian, or are you just a moralist? You like to run with the Christian crowd. It's good for your image to be seen to be a Christian. Are you that? Maybe Christianity doesn't go all the way to the core for you. Maybe it's just something on the surface. And when you scratch away the veneer, when a trial rips away the veneer, maybe it's seen that what is beneath the surface isn't everything that should be there. Maybe that's why James wrote these interesting words. We pick it up in James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 2. He wrote, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Let me ask you a challenging question. Might I do that? When was the last time a trial came and you turned in God's direction and said, "Thank you for this trial"? When was the last time a trial came into your life, and I mean something significant, not being able to park in your favored parking space? When did a trial come to your life and you said, "I consider this a joy"? It's really easy to get confused about what Christianity really is. Christianity is about far more than ascribing or subscribing to a certain set of doctrines or theological tenets. Anybody can do that. It's not hard to read the Bible and say, "Oh yeah, that's right. This theory is correct. This teaching is accurate." That's not hard at all. It doesn't make you a Christian. What demonstrates your Christianity, what reveals your Christianity, are things such as how you react under pressure, how you react when your safety net disappears from beneath your feet, how you react when somebody does you wrong. Just today, I was told about somebody, a woman who was in a really bad domestic situation. She planned to escape. So as she got money, she gave it to a friend. And she said, "You hang on to that. Be like my bank. I can't open a bank account to do this because that will be found out. So you take the money. Would you do that?" And sure enough, week after week, money was given to the trusted friend. And then the time came and she contacted her friend and she said, "This is it. I'm on my way. I'm going to run now. I'm going to go to safety. I've got some money put aside. May I have my money?" You know how the story ends, don't you? The money was not there. The friend had to say, "I'm sorry, but I spent it all." That's a betrayal. How would you act if something like that were to happen to you? Those trials reveal what's beneath the surface. So if there's a trial in your life and it's revealing what's beneath the surface and you don't like what you see, thank God for that. And take that to God and say, "Thanks for showing me what I really am. Make me what I really ought to be." Great to see you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pastor John, for those inspiring words.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
We sure did. And we want to remind you, friends, to not forget to join us tomorrow morning. We will be featuring an important health segment. Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought. And we will have music from the Neblett family. We can't wait to see you there. And also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, we would like to invite you to visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies will be such a blessing to you.
That's right. And we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19.
It says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus."
I love that promise.
I do too.
You know, friends, he's going to meet every single need. There's no need to fret about, because when you place your life in his hands, you can trust him. He is a living God who will take care of you.
Amen. Friends, we pray you have begun today with a smile and a heart full of gratitude to our Lord. May he bless you abundantly.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, how good it is to call you our Father. We're your children, and we know that you love us, you take care of us, your heart loves us with an everlasting love. And today, Lord, we place our life, our cares, our worries, everything into your hands, where we're safe. And we trust you, Lord, as we walk through our day. Thank you for inspiring us today with so much hope. In Jesus' name, amen.